Welcome to Heart to Hearts. I'm Terrence Harch with my co-host and little sister Grace. Grace, what's on your heart today?
I'm looking forward to this podcast. Sounds like we're going to be talking about some interesting stuff.
We are.
So
We are.
I'm ready to roll.
Yep. And I want to thank you, friends, for tuning in. A reminder about the show: we're dedicated to mending broken hearts and helping people. We will debate, argue, and keep it real, but ultimately, we want you uplifted and we won't shy away from difficult topics. That includes today. Pastor Stephen McQuarrie is a dynamic thinker and visionary leader dedicated to expanding the kingdom of God. With a fervent passion for guiding souls toward their destined purpose, Pastor McQuarrie, based in St. Louis, Missouri, serves as the founder of the Abundance of Grace Ministries. And I'm also blessed to call him my friend. Welcome, Stephen.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Terrence and Jamise, Grace. I appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Awesome. Awesome. I appreciate it. Stephen, how loyal I am. We've been friends for a long time. And I'm real big on protecting my friends because I'm loyal like that. And so I want to ask you, first of all, my friend, how comfortable you are talking about your divorce.
I'm very comfortable. It's rather ironic that, my ministry is the abundance of grace. And I preach grace, I teach grace, I talk about grace a lot. And it so happens to be May 1st. May is the fifth month of the year. And we understand that five is a grace. And so this is actually my first time talking about my divorce in a public setting, among recordings and whatnot. So I don't think it's by happenstance or happen chance that we are here on May 1st talking about my divorce in the spirit of grace. So I'm ready to go. I'm comfortable.
Well, it's interesting because I was there before you all got married. Would you like to tell everybody how long you were married?
Yeah, so I got married at 19, and I think the divorce was final at 40, maybe 48, 47, 48. Now I'm not counting, so I don't know how many years that is, but we were just at about 30 years. We had been together more than 30 years, but the marriage was at just about 30 years.
Yeah, and I have very vivid memories of when you first met her and knew her, because I know she was singing in a choir at a church. And you were tell you we were on the phone, you were telling me about this girl that you met. And first of all, tell the folks how long we've been friends.
We've been friends, I say around the age of 12. Around the age of 12, I think 12. Now I'm 51 and you're 50, so oh boy. That's a very, 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 very long time.
A long time.
Yes. My brother from another mother, no doubt. No
Yeah.
doubt. No doubt.
Yeah, so I do remember there was sort of like a season, especially as you started spending time with your lady. We kind of didn't communicate as much. I think you were kind of invested in your lady and what was going on during that time. So you want to apologize to me for that, or I'm
I
still kind
have.
of
Don't you dare.
I'm still feeling some sort of way. I know we're talking about many, a few decades ago, but
No, don't
no.
you dare apologize for doing what you were
Don't
supposed to do.
apologize, Grace.
No. Wait a minute.
All right, look, there's no grace for an apology.
There's no grace for an apology. Okay, all right. No apology necessary. So I know I got married like around 24. 19 is kind of young, maybe in some people's books. Do you feel like you were equipped for marriage, or you have any thoughts on that?
Absolutely not. If we're going to be honest, 19, no, I had been with her since actually, just prior to my 16th birthday. So I was about 15, about turned 16. And so at 19, I was about a week from turning 20. No, I don't think I was prepared at all. I mean, to be honest, and it was but grace that we made it that long. I don't think at 19, 18, 20, 21 is so much that you have to learn. I teach men now that there are three things that you must know before you take on a wife. Number one, you got to know yourself, your likes, your dislikes. You need to know about you. Number two, you need to know your gift. Why God puts you here? What are you supposed to do with what he puts you here to do? What are you supposed to do with the gift? Because you're going to have to tell her. And then number three, which is the most important one, you've got to know your God. Because when life happens and storms and rain, is your life built on a solid foundation? And that's the only way a marriage will ever work.
That's good. That's good. So, my friend, did you want the divorce?
It's a good question. I think at the time that everything broke down, I went through seasons of really not, how can I say this? I didn't imagine my life without her. Now, when I failed in different areas of my marriage, throughout some of the years, I still never saw my life without her relationally. But as we started moving towards separation, towards divorce, and some things just totally just spun out of control, at that point, I start saying, you know what? No, it's not going to work. And so, I don't want to say I wanted the divorce like that, but I saw that it wasn't going to work anymore at that point.
So I have a question. You were married for 30 years, and I'm single. I've never been married. You were married for 30 years, right?
You know what? Let me say maybe 28, 29, I mean,
So we
somewhere
learned
around.
that you're supposed to round up. So 30, 30 years, right? My question is, when did it start to fail, if you will? Like, when did you say, after 30 years of being with someone, that you will no longer be with that person, and you're not going to be with that person anymore?
And can I say something before he answers that? I just want to say that this is for our viewing audience, because I want people to be just very clear that where people are in their relationships is more important to me and than a show. Jamisa, Grace, you and I, we've kind of talked about different things. We'll talk about different things we won't, talk about. And I think your question was excellent. And so I don't want anybody out there to feel like we did any sort of ambushing, because I made it clear. I was talking to Stephen. I was like, if there's any part of you that's uncomfortable discussing this topic, we're not going to do it. Because how people are and where they are emotionally is more important than anything. So I just wanted to make that clear. And Stephen, you can feel free to answer that however
Yeah,
you want to.
Jamise, give me that one more time. Give me that question one more time.
When did you know it was over within the marriage? Was it a work in progress? Was it like, did you hold on longer than? Go ahead.
No, I'll answer that two ways. I knew it was over once I left. All right. There was a time that I left and I knew in my soul, yeah, this is over. Now, there have been different seasons in that 30-year relationship that, I made mistakes and then we'd work through it. Okay. But like I said, there was never really a time that I just really, because I have three children, three beautiful children, and three beautiful children came out of the relationship. And I am grateful and thankful that I was able to raise them. All right. My kids are older now. So I was able to raise them. But there have been several instances in the 30-year relationship that if there had been a push towards a breakdown, most definitely we could have been divorced. We could have been divorced 6 months into the marriage, to be quite honest with you. Right? But the grace of God allowed it to go forward. And I'm thankful that it did because I got three, like I said, three beautiful children that I couldn't imagine life without.
Stephen, how do you feel about your ex?
Yeah, we're friends. We're great friends. We're great friends. We do a lot of family stuff, which is quite rare because we are divorced. And we'll get together with the children. Matter of fact, I had dinner last night with my youngest son, his mother, and his girlfriend. And then Sunday, I had dinner with my ex-wife, my youngest son, his girlfriend, and his girlfriend's dad. So, we make it work,
Yeah,
and I'm thankful for that. We make it work.
that's the one thing that I think has sort of been odd about your situation, in that despite all in whatever challenges you all had, you all were always very consistent about stepping up for the kids. If there was something that was going on, you came together, you sat down, you even took trips together, even though you were dealing with the challenges. I mean, how did you all managed to do that, even, amidst the struggle between you guys?
Because we realize that the kids are most important. And I am the kind of dad, I was very present. Okay. Very, very present throughout the years, I was very present. So that wasn't going to change. I'll be honest with you, even when it is that I moved out the house, I moved down the street. I got a condo down the street from my youngest son. So my oldest daughter was in college. Well, my only daughter, not oldest, my only daughter was in college. My oldest son, I think, was about to graduate college. And so my youngest son was still in high school. I think he was about to be a senior, junior, he's about to be a senior. And so I actually got a condo around the corner from his school so I could be available in case I needed to go up there or he can come over or whatever. So we made it work. And once again, it was the grace of God and it was the grace of the relationship.
Right.
There wasn't any evilness and just it wasn't that. We realized where we were and there were some decisions that had to be made. But what we did is we rallied in our children. For the first year or two, it was rough. There were some rough patches, but as they got smoothed out, I think the children benefited more with us coming together as a unit and friends rather than the discrepancy of the divorce.
Do you want to remarry?
Oh yes. I am very relational. I am very relational, and I think it's a benefit to be married. The Bible says the man that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. So, I tell the brothers, if you want favor, get a woman.
I heard
Get a
that.
wife.
Do you believe you can spend your life with someone? You did pretty well, but 30 years. That's a long time. If we just look at the time in and of itself.
I certainly believe it. This last half of my life, at 51, yes, most certainly, I am not the kind of guy that will, I'm gonna date for the rest of my life, or I'm gonna, just stay single. And no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that at all. Nope, not at all. So
Awesome.
yes, the answer to your question is yes. I'm 1,000% sure that I'll get married again.
I want to go ahead and add another friend of mine. in here. This is your first time actually meeting him because you live in Missouri, whereas my other friend, he lives here in California. He's a master's level social worker with over 20 years work experience in mental health services. He's had a lot of experience with mental health and thankfully relationship coaching. And so I just kind of wanted to get his feedback. He's been participating, kind of listening. Welcome, Ira Rounsaville. You have any thoughts about what we've been saying, sir?
Well, first of all, I want to commend and thank Stephen for his vulnerability and his transparency. I think for a man in ministry to be vulnerable enough to come on here and share his story, it does a lot of things. Number one, it sets an example for other men. It sets an example for marriages and truth. I am a huge proponent of marriage and the truth of marriage. And I think it's important that when we have people, especially in ministry and in leadership, the level of vulnerability and transparency that has to be shared in order to properly shepherd and guide people is essential. So, brother, I thank you for your truth and your transparency. Nobody on this call will know how far of a reach it will have, but I know it will have a reach because you're sharing your story. So thank you for your vulnerability.
Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. I want to just start off by saying, I think when it comes to divorce, you asked the question, did you want to, or was, or did you know when, or what have you? And sometimes in relationships, like, we see the red flags or we see the stop signs and we just run right through them. And so, and as Stephen said, God does give grace and allow you to manage and maintain a relationship through that. But the cool thing about God too is that he's a God of choice, right? So he allows us to choose, and so the stop sign is there, the flashing red lights. It might be barriers for some people. It's barricades, but they made of plastic. You know what I mean? So we just keep going as if they aren't there because we're pursuing that thing, and especially in relationships and in marriage, and then also when you throw in religion, or spiritual practices. I'll just say it that way. You also just get you get stuck and say, well, the Bible says, or we made this covenant, or we did these things, right? And so then you remain, and you ignore the flags, you ignore the stop signs, you just keep pushing past them because I had said that this is what was going to happen, and you don't want to see yourself as failure, you don't want to see yourself as this, so you don't want to see yourself as that. And I think it's important, again, part of that truth and that honesty of even being able to come out publicly and say, yo, like, this is not working. But even before that, there is an opportunity to go through all the steps and try to fix it and try to address those areas of challenges and concerns. That's equally as important. And there are relationships that don't do the exploration before, they don't do the exploration during, right? So you just say, ooh, she looked good, great, work it, let's, yes. And you go, right? And then when things, and then as you're in it, you don't really stop and do a temperature check, and you just kind of keep going. And then when you hit the bumps, there's not the deep dive and the exploration to say, okay, well, why are we here? How do we get here? And how do we move from here? Stephen, you said something earlier about the 3 points that you give to the young men that you shepherd, and that, again, what foundation do you have when things get tough and when things get rough? I'll be married 26 years in July, and we were paperwork away twice in my 25, and I know, I'm certain that 26 is coming because of the foundation that we had. And here's the rest of my story. We got married unequally yoked. I wasn't a believer when my wife decided to commit and to marry me, right? But I am certain that I sit here before you today is because of that foundation. So, and the last thing I want to say, and then I'll allow you to ask any questions. it took me 8 years to even know, to be in a marriage for 8 years to even understand what marriage was. And that's the other part. Like, if you don't understand what marriage is, it's really easy for it to not work.
Ira, is there any way to know whether or not a speed bump, so to speak, is something you can work past? How do you know if your situation is just too bad to heal from? Is there any way to know?
Absolutely. So again, I'm a huge proponent when it comes to marriage, and I guess just dating in general, but I'm a huge proponent as it relates to marriage about premarital counseling, right? And not just for it to happen, but for it to be real, right? Exploratory. And part of that premarital counseling can explore some of those potential speed bumps, things you might take for granted, things that you don't talk about, or things you just think you're on the same page with your partner until something happens. But when those things happen, you have to sit down. And then again, this is why I talk about that temperature check. You have to say, okay, well, what is your thoughts about this? How do you feel that we're going to get past this? What are you willing? Here's a big question. What are you willing to do to move past it? And it's not one sided. It's both parties, both sides have to be willing to put in the same amount of effort. And again, full transparency. There was a time, I'm celebrating 26 soon, because there was a time when my wife was the one fighting and I wasn't.
Yeah.
But that's also how I came close twice to being divorced, because I wasn't in the fight.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I joined the fight that we were able to move past those things. It's possible, but just like you commit to the sanctity of marriage, you got to commit to the fight that also is required. Now, again, that fight can be different based upon what you do beforehand. The beginning is so important. So just like Stephen said, at 19, like, what exploration did you even know to do to say, hey, is this where I'm supposed to be? It was, I have this woman, I'm in this relationship. This is what I believe, I feel, I think, I want to do. And you do it, right? But as a 19-year-old young man, I got married when I was 24. And even in that, and like I said, it still took me 8 years in the marriage to even understand what I was doing. So I can't imagine any time before. And we had amazing premarital counseling, amazing premarital counseling, which is why I'm such a proponent of it, right? But again, if you aren't doing it's the work on the front end that makes the middle the difference.
You know, Ira, I think you're totally right about that, because Stephen was actually in my wedding, and you and I, Ira, we got married the same year, because it'll be 26 years for me this year as well. But I remember going through premarital counseling actually at Carlton Pearson's church at the time. We lived in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And they talked about everything in there. They talked about budgeting. What if your wife wants to buy this and you don't want to buy that? They talked about sex. What if you want it and they don't want it? They talked about family. What if, you know, one family member agrees with this family member? And I think it was about like 12 weeks that we went through. And honestly, at the time, I probably was slightly annoyed, but I was committed. And I think you just pointed out the importance of just committing, because you do run into road bumps. We've dealt with all kinds of challenges over the years, kids with health challenges and things that probably would have demolished other couples. But it's only by God's grace that we were kept. And thank God for those principles.
You know, the brother who married us is a dear friend to this day, and actually a godfather to my daughter. What he said to us in the beginning is, he said, I'm going to try to break you guys up.
Mm.
That was, and I'm like, all right, first of all, like, I ain't doing this whole God thing. No way. Like, here this reverend dude talking about he trying to break us up. But I understood, right? I got it. Because again, marriage can be challenging. And again, if I can't pass this test, then I have no shot. I have no shot. But to your point, some of those same topics that you just named, those are some of the same things that he brought up for us. And things like when he were bringing them up, I'm like, dude, why are we talking about if you're at work and I go to lunch, should I go to, can I go to lunch with a coworker of the opposite sex? Should I have to, do I ask my wife first? I'm like, I'm a grown man. I'm not asking nobody nothing. Except when she answered, like, yeah, you need to like run that by me. I'm like, wait, what happened? Right? So again, there are things that I may have taken for granted or may have thought that, oh yeah, surely we're on the same page in this. But it was in that room and in that moment that we were able to have that conversation. And had they not happened prior to, again, if the cabin loses air pressure, the mask will fall from above, right? And so you don't want to be in that situation. That's a tough spot. That's a tough space to be in.
Yeah. Well, for me, one of the things that freed me in my counseling, talking to a counselor, one day she told me, and this was probably, I think I've been out the house maybe a year, because we went through that during the COVID, and COVID threw back divorce papers and folks was getting on camera and you had, so it took us a while for the divorce to be final. But one of the things the counselor told me was, she said to me, because I was making all kind of excuses. I was making excuses, you know, with my kids and saying the reason why, and I didn't know this and I didn't know that. And so one of the things she said to me was, she said, sit in your truth. Sit in your truth. Number one, you didn't have the tools. Now, whatever you did, you didn't have the tools to have a successful marriage. Yes, you knew Jesus and all that good stuff, but you didn't have the practical tools. And I thought about it. You cannot build a house with just a hammer and nails and 2x4s. Impossible. You need levelers. You need floor joists. You need all that. You cannot build a house like that. Now, you may can get it up, but at some point, is it going to crumble because it's off balance, off-centered, and you didn't have the tools in the first place?
That's good. That is good, man. My friend, my brother, my comrade, I want to thank you for coming on. And thank you, Ira, for sharing your wisdom. Grace, you have anything to say before we wind things up?
No, I don't. Thank you all for joining us. It's really good information. Thank you.
Awesome.
Grace looks like she got some questions.
She holding back on us. Nonetheless, we'll save those after the show. Well, my friends, go spread joy with a contagious smile, and a hug doesn't hurt. You never know whose life you might be changing or whose heart you might be healing. Thank you for watching.